gonna make her mine, all mine. Hey.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Bruce Chanel, his one-hit wonder. Hey, baby, I love that song. A 1960s song. I was in high school. Everybody dancing, very toe-tapping song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my good buddy, gosh, we've been together now for a long time, Big Ed Davis and me. We thank you for joining us. It is Monday, December the 27th. Wow. Are you getting emotional about leaving 2021 behind? Me, not so much. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with an old friend, Neville Kramer. He's a security consultant. He's a former INS border official. We are going to talk about the Texas border wall. You know, the governor of Texas is building that border wall because the federal government is not. So we're going to talk to Neville. Is it legal to build that border wall? Is it going to work? Will it really work? Okay. We'll talk with Neville about that. And the mainstream media is fuming over a father's parting salute to President Biden during a NORAD Christmas call. Did you happen to hear that or see that? We're going to get some thoughts on it, though, and other things from our eye in the northern sky. Angelo Ceresi will be with us to discuss that. That'll be a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. He was watching NORAD because he's in the northern sky, so you understand why we're going to talk to him about that. And the mistaken belief by Democrats that Hispanics are going to stay Democrats while the party moves deeper into socialism. We're going to discuss that as well a little bit later in the show. And we have a very good top 10 for you. In our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most mortifying media moments. Most try to say that after a few drinks. The most mortifying media moments of 2021. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is, for my money, the best place you guys can go for a haircut. And if you're not going to get a haircut for New Year's, when are you going to get a haircut? You got to get over there. It's in Dunedin. It's just off State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. Call first. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And while we're at it, we're patronizing people here, I hope you listen to Good Morning Clearwater, because they're a wonderful program. They precede our show. In fact, they're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, they're just as nice off-air as they are on-air. So don't forget to listen to them. Good morning, Clearwater. All right. Ed, I don't know what's happened to my sound, but I am getting a strange noise. Should I pop this little sucker here? Hold on just one second. Let me try another.
Give it a little rattle there, I think. If you're just getting a...
Okay, I think we got the same noise, but that's all right. Do you hear what I'm hearing?
No.
Okay.
No. Mine's crystal clear.
Maybe it's my ears. Or it could be...
Try a different jack.
It could be these headphones. But we'll discuss it when we get to a break.
Right.
And we will carry on, because that's what we do. Now, we got some good news, I think. Thousands of Russian troops are reportedly withdrawing from the Ukrainian border after conducting drills there for over a month, or about a month, really. Reuters, you know, the news agency, they reported over the weekend that more than 10,000 Russian troops were leaving a number of regions near Ukraine, including the Crimea and a couple of other areas there, and returning home to their permanent bases. Here's what the Russian army is quoted as saying. A stage of combat coordination of divisions, combat crews, squads, at motorized units have been completed. More than 10,000 military servicemen will march to their permanent deployment from the territory of the combined arms area of drills. In other words, we're getting the hell out. Now, maybe we should give Biden some credit, because remember, he did talk to Putin and warn him about invading the Ukraine.
Must have scared the heck out of him.
What are you saying, Ed?
He must have scared the heck out of him.
See, I don't hear you. That's why I'm saying there's something. Maybe it's maybe I should take these headphones off. I'm not sure. But I can see your lips moving. See, it's one of those things. We have a little technical glitch right now. But, Ed, I think you're happy with what's going on there in the Ukraine, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, good. Yeah.
I do not hear you, just so you know.
I'm thinking you hit the mute button.
It could be I've just gone deaf. But I think it's the equipment, which we will check a little bit later. But I think this is good news, because they had amassed all those people, thousands, tens of thousands, you know? And I'm worried about Biden. I mean, if I met Joe Biden on the playground, I would not be intimidated. I don't care how tiny I was. The guy just doesn't intimidate. Now, Trump, that's a horse of a different color. I think Putin would be a little more concerned about what Trump might do. Anyway, Ed, let's take a break here. I can't wait to talk to Neville Cramer about this Texas border wall. I think this is such an interesting and important issue. And while we're doing that, I'm going to see if I can figure out what is going on with my sound. So stick around and we will be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and I can hear again. I thought I was losing my hearing, but Ed comes in. You should have seen him go to work. All of the things that he did to get this thing to work, I just salute him. Anyway, we are back and glad to be so. Now, I've lost it again here, but that's all right. We'll continue on. I'm going to tap this thing, and I think we'll be okay. Anyway, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has launched construction of a border wall funded by about $1 billion, with a B, in state money, and another $54 million in private money. Yeah, people are sending money to Texas.
I don't know why. What's wrong with the border? Kamala's doing a great. There's nothing wrong with the border.
You're right.
The Canadians are not coming through.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. They're fine.
And how many people have come across the Pacific Ocean and snuck through?
Oh, the southern border. Oh, I was thinking the northern. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So there was the Texas wall follows an executive order issued by Biden on his very first day in office. That stopped or paused. Boy, did he do a lot of damage his first day. The pipeline, the border, when Biden called for a review of all the projects. So here we go with the Texas governor doing this work now. And I think I lost my sound again here. I'm going to see if we can get this going. Sorry about all that, fans, folks. But I cannot. It's gone. Okay. I want to get to my buddy Neville Kramer. Just came back on again, Ed. It just came back on. We're having a little technical devil. It must be a liberal. Maybe from the voice of reason. But right now it's working again. So we've got our... Neville, I apologize. We're just having one of those days. But I'm so glad you're here. Neville Kramer is a security consultant. He's a former INS border official. And we're going to talk with him about what Governor Greg Abbott in Texas is doing. Neville, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, Paul. Great to be on your show. Can you hear me okay?
I can. It's not on your end. It is on our end, but I hear you just fine. So hopefully...
Well, you won't be the first person that didn't want to hear me.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
No. I can't think of anybody I'd rather talk with right now because of your experience with immigration and border security. So yeah. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, on his own, has decided, because the federal government just will not complete that border wall, to start building a border wall of his own. First of all, Neville, what do you think of the idea? And second of all, do you think it's legal?
Well, first of all, I can remember for years Texas Governor Perry raving in his strong Texas accent that he was going to secure the border and send troops down there and secure the border. And secure the border. He went on for every day that he was ever governor of Texas, and the border was never secured. Unfortunately, Governor Abbott is going down the same track. This is political show. Whether it's legal or not, we'll wait and see. He's probably going to have to spend another maybe $1 million or $2 million of that money that he has or that he's getting from everybody to fight this in court, because they're going to sue him. From every left-wing agency in the country will be suing the state of Texas about this. As whether it's legal or not, I don't really know. And to tell you the truth, I don't care, because it's basically what he's doing is putting a 2-inch Band-Aid on a gaping wound about half the length of one's leg. So that's basically what he's trying to do. This is political show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say it. And the other thing that it is it's backlash that he's facing, because what Biden has done is simply gone completely nuts to fight what Trump was trying to do. And that's backlash is not a good immigration policy, but we're seeing it. It's going to cost this country dearly, Paul. What's going on down there is serious business. These people are flooding in here. We don't know who they are, where they're going, where they're from, et cetera.
Now, first of all, I know, Neville, that you've got a lot of very good ideas about security of the southern border, but I don't get the impression that you think that the border wall itself is the answer. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. I like the wall, but let's take a look at some other things. First of all, ground radar systems, sensors, cameras, drones. And how about asking ourselves, why didn't we get the thousands of night vision glasses that were left behind in Afghanistan that are super high tech, give them to the Border Patrol? No,
that's a good idea.
Behind to the Taliban.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, which is so. These are the types of things on the border that would help. And the biggest thing that would help on the border, and they have never done it because it will work, is large-scale temporary detention capacities that can house men, women, and children that they apprehend when they cross the border illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need. You need to hold these people and give them due process and then return them if they're illegally in the country. But we don't have that. So they know that if they put up a wall, or the Republicans knew that if they, and Trump, that if he went there and he proposed the wall, and everybody yelled at his campaign meetings and so forth, that he would get the votes. And that's all this is all about. But actually, controlling that border is huge issue, and it's a huge problem. And one last thing, Paul, we don't have any interior enforcement. E-Verify is not mandatory for employers. These millions of people that are just pouring in here are undocumented, but they can get jobs anywhere they want. They can send billions of dollars back home to their countries. Over 100 countries are represented in the numbers of people that have been apprehended on the border. We don't know what haven't been apprehended. So this problem, this thing that's going on down there, America's going to pay a heavy price for this. I hate to be so serious.
No, I'm glad you are.
I've ever seen.
Neville, let me ask you this. If you were the governor of Texas, what would you do? I mean, you got these people pouring through. Would you call the National Guard? Would you march with your entourage onto the steps of the Capitol building or the White House? I mean, would you just sit there and take it? What would you do?
That's a great question. I think the state has got to stay out of this as far as enforcement is concerned. The state troopers are down there. They're going to end up getting into difficulty. They're apprehending people and arresting them for trespassing. I don't believe that's going to work. This is an issue that the United States has got to face. The congressmen have got to go back to Washington, and we've got to come to grips with this immigration policy. It hasn't happened since the 80s, and even then they failed. But we know, I will say this much, Paul, and this is the great part. If there's ever an issue in the United States that could be solved, and could be solved very well and not easily, but it could be solved better than almost any other major problem that we have, it's immigration. Mm-hmm. We know what solves this problem. You can control that border, but you have to have interior enforcement, because if there's no if the people that are coming in here illegally believe they can get in and stay in and get a job and send money back home, you're never going to stop it.
We're talking
wall
with
no wall.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Neville Kramer. He is knows what he's talking about. He's an immigration enforcement consultant. He's been involved with the border situation and with the INS. He's written a book years ago called Immigration Chaos. And we've had him on for a long time over the years. And we always invite him back because this doggone, I don't know, Neville, since I first talked with you, I know it's worse now than it was then. But even then we thought it was bad, you know, years ago.
Unbelievable, isn't it, Paul? We've been talking together for years and years, and this situation just will not fix it.
Why are Democrats, do they not understand? In fact, we're going to talk about this a little later in the show as well. Hispanics generally are not socialists. They're more, I almost would say, they're more conservative in many ways. And yet, I think the Democratic Party and the current administration believes by allowing all of these people to come in, at some point they're going to be able to vote and that they're going to vote Democratic. Now, I think that's a very Machiavellian thing to do, to leave the border open with all of the dangers of doing it so that you can get more people to vote for you. But what do you think? Is there any truth to that idea?
It's a guess. It's a guess is what you're advocating, and you're correct. It's they're guessing that these people are going to vote. But remember that it's not all Hispanics coming in, and there are a great number from the Caribbean, there are a great number from Africa and Asia, and we don't know how these people are going to vote. So it could backfire on the Democrats. But then again, Biden is going to be the one for many, many years to come that gets credit for allowing these people to come in. Because I'll tell you right now, Paul, they're not going anywhere. These 1.5 million or 2 or 3 million that are pouring in right now, they're not going home. It's just not going to happen.
Neville, how many...
Say Neville.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was going to ask you, as you're talking about, how many illegal people do you think, can you guess, are in this country right now?
20 to 25 million.
20 to 25 million. Is that not more than most states' population? A goodly number of states' population is lower than 20 to 25 million. So what's going to happen to all of those people? I know we can't, no matter who it is, you can't shovel them up and send them back home. I mean,
that's correct.
The liberal press would have a field day. So they're here. And eventually, many of them are going to become legal, right? Citizens.
Yes. They're going to become legal just like we were, just like, and I can tell you something very quickly, Paul.
Sure.
Quietly, the State Department just did something which is horrific when it comes to our security. In fact, this was mentioned by the 9/11 Commission not to do, and that is that the State Department stopped interviewing vast numbers of people that are applying for visas to come to the United States. As of the 23rd of December, there are huge numbers of immigrants that are applying for visas to come here, and they're not being interviewed. They're just giving them the visas and allowing them to come. Several of the 9/11 terrorists came to this country and were never interviewed. And the 9/11 Commission said, for God's sake, we've got to start interviewing these people. And then the Secretary of State last week just stopped it because the backlog, because of COVID-19, is too great. So they're just going to let them in here.
They caught somebody just recently, I believe, on the southern border that was a terrorist. Did you know that?
Yes. He was involved with the Yemenis, and he's very closely related to Yemenis that are tied to terrorism. These kinds of things are awful for our security. Our sovereignty is going down the drain.
I mean, we know what's wrong, and I'm wondering if we're going to get anybody that's going to fix it. Do you think having Trump back as president, or is there anybody else? Is there anybody you have faith in, Neville, that might take control of this situation if he were the president and do the right thing?
No. I don't think very many people understand the whole problem. When they divided up the Immigration Service and Homeland Security, they did it for a reason, and that was they put the ineptitude of the INS, which it used to be, on steroids. And the whole place is they just don't know what they're doing with the issue. The Border Patrol is one part. They think they trust everything that the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol is on the border. What about New York? What about California? What about Illinois? I mean, they're on the border in some instances, but this problem is nationwide in every single state we have. They're not all border states. The Border Patrol is not there. They're not the gurus to go to when it comes to illegal immigration in Kansas, and yet we have it there.
Yeah.
So that's our problem. We're just. I don't think they're going to solve it. I think we're going to continue to have millions and millions of people come in here illegally. They're just going to exist in our country. We will have amnesties left and right to make some of them legal, the DACA kids, for example. And then a whole new group is going to flow in behind them.
Recently, the Biden administration has picked up some of the border wall that's currently laying there on the ground and filling in some of those open areas. Now, I guess they are getting some pressure because they have left all of that stuff there to rot, as it were. Do you think that that's a hopeful sign? Also, aren't they getting pressure because of the, not necessarily the terrorists, but disease and more virus, et cetera, pouring through the border? Do you think they're getting any kind of religion on that?
No, it's all Band-Aids. It's all Band-Aids, like I said, and I can tell you right now, the next time we have a hurricane that hits, or a tornado hits, or a plane crashes or something, the whole issue goes to the back page again. That's what's been happening for 30, 40, 50 years now.
Wow. Well, Neville, I hate to end the conversation on such a down note, but we gotta hope that there are people, enough people that will be outraged enough that we're going to start doing the things to stop the flow. Go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I just want to tell you that the bad part is that the solution to the whole thing is make every illegal legal. Then the problem is gone. That's what they're going to try to do. But listen, there is a good thing coming, and that's the 2022 for you and your family and Ed and everybody. Have a fantastic new year. And hopefully this thing will get better, but I don't know how, but it will. And we'll see. It's a great country, and it has a tendency to fix these things. So,
well, Neville Cramer, it is always a pleasure. A very happy New Year to you. Thank you so very much for coming on, and tip of the hat, and our love to your adorable wife as well. And I know we'll be talking soon.
You bet. Thumbs up.
All right, buddy.
Oh, take care.
Thank you. Neville Cramer. All right. I wish he could be a little more optimistic. But that's the way it goes right now. He's just being honest. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, the mainstream media is fuming over a father's parting salute to President Biden during a NORAD Christmas call. We'll get some thoughts on this from another tracker of NORAD in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Gosh, we only have how many more days left? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days left of this year? Ed, I don't know about you, but honestly, maybe it's my age. I'm sure it is. This year just flew by. Do you feel that way, or is it the same?
Wasn't it like just a couple of years ago we were worried about the millennium clocks ticking over to 2000?
Exactly. You're right. You know?
Nothing's going
to
work.
We all thought that our computers were going to stop, and we wouldn't be able to get our money out of the banks. Yeah. You remember all of that?
Yeah.
Even worried about electricity going out. Obviously, nothing happened. Yeah. Nothing happened, but you're right. All right. Now, media pundits are spending much of this holiday weekend berating this guy. He's a father who yelled, "Let's go, Brandon," at President Biden on Christmas Eve directly to him when they were doing a NORAD holiday deal. Did you hear about that?
No.
You did not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is there audio of that somewhere?
Yes.
Is there?
There is. Maybe
you're talking to Angelo.
Angelo, we can find it. But I'm setting up Angelo here because I want everybody to know how this happened. Biden and Jill Biden, his wife, took part in what was called a Santa Tracker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's an event with NORAD officials. He did it on Friday, you know, Christmas Eve, to speak with callers tracking Santa Claus for Christmas. So one caller who identified himself as Jared from Oregon ended his family's call by saying, "Let's go, Brandon." A phrase usually intended as a disparagement against President Biden. But listen to this. Biden actually said, "Yeah, let's go, Brandon." Back to him.
Because he didn't know.
Apparently, they're keeping him so locked up in that White House, he doesn't know what's going on outside.
Well, there's a meme, what people call a meme, is a photo running around of Jill Biden yelling at somebody saying, for the love of God, would you stop calling him? Would you stop with the Let's Go Brandon? He thinks his name is Brandon.
Okay. So we got our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, had you heard about this story?
Yes, I did. it's really funny.
It is funny. It's a little bit inappropriate, though, right? It's a little bit. Would you not say it's?
Used to call Trump the Orange Ignoramus. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, but that's okay, right? They said that was okay.
Yeah.
But now, when you say "Let's go, Brandon," it's not okay.
Just to back up on this, this whole thing started after a reporter at a Alabama race car event claimed that NASCAR fans shouted the phrase, "Let's go, Brandon."
Brandon.
But they were actually saying something a little different. It starts with an F, F blank, 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 Joe Biden. But, you know, in a crowd, it could sound like, "Let's go, Brandon, let's go, Brandon," right?
Yep.
So the lady that was on mic said, "Oh, see there," and the guy she was talking with was the winner of the race. His name was Brandon. So that's how it all started. Now, Angelo, listen to some of these media outlets that have now gotten their panties in a knot, as they say. They have treated this phrase as vulgar and vitriol. Some outlets, let's see, here's one from Slate. It's a left-wing outlet. It says, what has become a traditional White House holiday call with children, referring to the NORAD deal, tracking of Santa Claus, took an awkward turn this year when one father used the opportunity to insult the president using a slur that has become popular in right-wing circles. Listen.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Merry
Christmas, and let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree. Hey,
buddy. There we go. Angelo, even Joe Biden agrees. Let's go, Brandon.
They are really keeping him secluded, aren't they?
Did he? Why?
Actually, I'm more impressed with Jill Biden kept a straight face.
Yeah.
To where she didn't fly off the handle.
Jill Biden probably
she knows what's going on.
She probably fell on the floor out of her chair when that happened. But then her husband goes, oh, yeah, let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Okay. Here is...
The left is all up in arms, huh? Where they're calling as a...
Oh, absolutely. Here's CNN. Dead,
huh?
Listen to this. CNN White House correspondent Jeremy Dimon. If you think it's appropriate to tell someone, anyone really, to go F themselves after they gave your kid the time of day on Christmas Eve, it says a lot more about your personal character than anything else. That is all. So,
has anybody done any playback of the stuff while how they treated President Trump?
Well, as a matter of fact, do you remember how the media thought it wasn't such a bad thing when who was that woman that was holding? This is in 2018. Kathy Griffin. Do you remember the Washington Post?
Yeah, she was holding a head.
Yes, she was a comedian. The Washington Post defended Kathy Griffin in 2018 after she posed in a fake bloodied image holding Trump's head. That same year, the New York Times published an assassination fantasy account of Trump being killed by a Russian assassin.
Right,
and if
right.
you remember, there was a play on Broadway
that did that too.
That had Trump being assassinated as in Julius Caesar. Do you guys remember that?
Yes, I do.
What about Kathy Griffin holding a severed head of Trump?
Well, they were saying that.
Said that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
Freedom of speech.
So that was okay.
Yeah, that's okay, but nobody says anything about that, right? Where the heck is the media on that now?
Yeah.
Isn't it very hypocritical that they do in this country?
I just think it's kind of funny. I think what Kathy Griffin did was not funny.
No, there was.
That was not funny. And obviously, the Julius Caesar assassination scene, when they were doing that over and over again, that was not funny.
It's okay, see?
But this is a one-time little thing.
But so a father goes on the air and says, "Let's go, Brandon." Right, they're all up in arms.
Yeah.
Where were they when all this stuff was happening with President Trump? Where were they? Not one word. Right? Not one word from the media.
Here's what I would do.
NBC, ABC, The Washington Post, right? Anything. Where were they?
Yeah.
But now they're vocal about, "Let's go, Brandon." You know?
Here's what I think. You know, I think I think Biden ought to ride this thing for all it's worth. Think about it. His numbers are terrible. If you survey, you look at the surveys. Guy's in the high 30s in popularity right now. Here's what I would suggest. He changes his name to Joe Brandon. Now, just hear me out. Everybody will get a kick out of it. And it's a bit of a self-deprecation. He officially changes his name to President Joe Brandon. Maybe that'll help get him back on the good side of the surveying. What do you think? You like it? I knew you would.
I love it. Kudos to that father. Kudos to
that. Oh, by the way, that guy's getting death threats. That guy is getting... I'm not kidding about this. He's getting a lot of death threats. The mainstream media made a point of making sure everybody knew where the guy lived, and you know, in Oregon, and his name. I don't think they doxed him with the address.
But I would sue them for everything they got.
Yeah,
for posting
be very
that, just like that kid did with Sandman. Like he got on their case,
yeah.
And sued those companies.
Yeah, well, you know, that guy from Kenosha with the rifle is going to make a ton of money, too.
Yeah.
He's going after all kinds of different outlets for what they said about him. And remember, what did Biden say? Biden found him guilty before the trial. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But nobody says that. They're saying, how can a president, right, already get involved in a case that there wasn't even a trial?
Yeah,
by his peers.
Right,
and this is supposed to be the president of the United States upholding our Constitution, right?
Exactly.
But nobody ever brings that up.
Didn't even get his day in court yet, and he was already convicting him.
But that's okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is how this country has really flipped, and there's really people out there that believe what President Brandon.
I like it. It has really nice.
Insane. They still believe what he's doing is okay. Inflation, right? Our border security is gone. Everything. You know, the country is falling apart in the 11 months that he's been president.
Yeah. By the way, are you any kind of a gambler, Angelo?
To a point.
Okay. You know, there's an over-under in Las Vegas on when Joe Biden will actually call himself accidentally Joe Brandon? There's an over-under on it now. I don't know if I'll take the under or the over. What would you take, Ed? Ed's a gambler. He'll know. Ed, would you take the over or the under that one of these days within his term, he will call himself President Brandon?
I would say over.
Yeah, I'm going to say over, too.
Okay. You say over, too, right?
On a more serious note, Angelo, how was your Christmas?
Very good. You know, my wife was sick a little bit. She had shingles, then she had a kidney stone.
Oh, boy.
She ended up with sepsis.
Oh, no.
And we had to take her to the hospital. She just got home yesterday. She was in for a week.
Oh, my gosh. So that was through Christmas that she was in the hospital?
Through Christmas, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How's she doing right now?
But she has to have that kidney stone removed. Poor girl ended up with shingles.
Oh, my goodness.
And the kidney stone at the same time.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, I'm so sorry. But you think? But
about it all, you
she's
know.
She's getting better though, and the kidney stone is going to be something they can treat, right?
Hopefully, we have to wait till January 7th to get in to see a urologist.
Oh gosh! Oh my goodness! Also, I want to real quickly the variant that is going around, the Omicron variant.
Omicron.
Have you noticed whether or not, now you're in Rochester, New York, which is in the upstate New York area, has it affected to you in your, have you noticed the difference because of Omicron around Rochester?
Yeah, we have a mandate now that any public building or anything, you have to wear a mask. At church, restaurant you go in, you have to wear a mask until you sit down. And
really?
Well, my wife was in intensive care unit at Unity Hospital here, and every room was filled in.
With people that had suffered from
the COVID-19, yes.
It's very catching, but I thought it was supposed to be a relatively mild variant in terms of its potency.
I guess, but I hear, you know, the rooms were all filled up, and they're at their capacity here in Rochester, the hospitals.
Wow.
That's why they let her go early. She was only, she was there from, what was it, Monday till yesterday.
They let her go early because they needed the bed?
Well, I guess so. I guess they need the best, but the sepsis is gone now. That was
taken
care of by the antibiotics and everything.
Yeah,
and her blood pressure was good and everything, so they said she could go home.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Well, we want to wish you and your lovely wife a very happy New Year, and we want to pray for her that she will recover and the kidney stone situation will be remedied. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Angelo, thank you so very, very much for coming on. And we'll be talking with you in 2022.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And let's go, Brand.
Okay. Thank you. What a wonderful way to leave it. All right. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, Angelo. Let's go, Brandon. My goodness. Okay, let's take our final break. And when we come back, the mistaken belief by Democrats that Hispanics are going to stay Democrats while the party moves deeper into socialism. I'm gonna raise a fuss, I'm
gonna raise a holler. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are In the Know and In the Now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back to the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, and delighted to be here. But we understand with all the things that are going on, you might not be able to hear us at those times. So thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and listen to our show anytime because he puts it on podcast. All the shows. So you can go there, and the most recent show will be at the very top. You'll see who the top 10, what our top 10, ultimate top 10 is. You'll see who the guest is. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, recent polls show that Hispanics are now evenly split. Can you believe this? Evenly split between Republicans and Democrats as far as voting. Now, this is the Wall Street Journal, which had this information. said support for Republicans and Democrats are at an even split of 37%, with 22% undecided. Now, some people are saying that that poll was not large enough to be taken seriously. And I don't know. It might be that that's true. But there is a trend, especially as Hispanics are here in our country longer and longer, to slide away from the Democratic Party and socialism in particular. Now, here is Representative Maria Salazar. She's here in Florida. She's a Republican. And she says, we share the same, meaning Hispanics, we share the same values that are entrenched in the Republican Party. God-fearing, law-abiding, tax-paying. Not only that, we are Americans. We are not socialists. We want to come into the country and we want to contribute. She further bolstered her community's pride, saying, what do you think we came here for? Because we want to contribute. It's not because we want to go to Disney World or shop at Saks Fifth Avenue. We want to come here and contribute. We know that the American exceptionality is waiting for us. So I think that's well said. I really do. And I think there's some truth to it. All right. Before we get to our very interesting top 10, Ed, I noticed we're getting closer to the football playoffs. And I watched our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers really sock it to them at Carolina. Kind of turned around what happened the week prior. Mm. I want to get your thought.
Well, they did pretty good with the fact that they were missing 57% of their offense, meaning Mike Evans, wide receiver, and Chris Godwin, wide receiver, and Leonard Fournette, running back. So
they clinched their division.
Yes, they won their Southern Division, the NFC South.
They still have a chance to get the best record in the NFL.
Well,
or
some
NFC.
Things would have to happen.
Yeah, Green Bay.
They'd have to win out. I don't know if they can. I don't think they can get the number one seed because I think Green Bay beats them in the top. But they can get the number two.
They can't win the number one seed.
No, I don't. I don't believe
I thought,
so.
I thought they could. Anyway,
well, Green Bay's ahead of us by one game
by
now.
By one game.
Yeah.
We got
so,
four losses.
We would Green lose Bay's a tiebreaker. We would lose a tiebreaker.
Okay. All right, sir. I got you on that one. Ed, you're going to love this one. These are the top 10 most mortifying media moments, and I got to go through them quickly because there's a lot to talk about. So let's, without any further ado, in 2021, most mortifying media moments. Number 10, Scarborough's profanity-laced meltdown. Sizing up the impact of the Capitol Hill riot, Joe Scarborough said, how can we make this worse? He was the first one out of the gate, basically, on the air to talk like a coked-up rodeo bull, randomly looking for things to break. In the span of a few minutes, he demanded extrajudicial imprisonment of Trump's family and campaign workers. All right? All right, number 9. The media invent a series of false January 6th claims. In the smoke of the Capitol Hill riots. Are we off?
No, that was me. I had my mic. I'm talking a little.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. In the smoke of the Capitol Hill riots, the major media positioned itself alongside the mayhem with some of their own industrial-grade, nationwide-reaching fog machines, simplifying the chaos with a steady stream of confusion. Now, almost everything initially reported about the riot turned out to be wrong. The attack was not planned on Parler. Rioters did not come with plans to kidnap lawmakers, as per the FBI's later acknowledgement. Things were left, in fact, relatively intact. Okay? All right. Number 8. The media blames Trump for their failure to report COVID origin. When 2020 brought one of the biggest news stories of our young decade, America's establishment media punched out. Rather than following in the tradition of actual journalists before them, doing some real investigation, they instead seem to be reflexively defending China and smeared anyone casting blame at the Wuhan laboratory. Number 7. Media wage war on Aaron Rodgers for ignoring their advice. Aaron Rodgers should have known better. Despite having a professional athlete whose career depends on taking scrupulous care of his body, He should have instead simply outsourced his well-being to CNN because of the COVID. Remember, he wouldn't take the COVID shots? That's what happened there. All right, number six.
Sorry, wrong button.
That's all right. We're going to get Lola out of the studio. She's distracting. Lola, go away so he can do this. Okay. We're kidding. Number six, media mocked Joe Rogan for a claim that they invented about horse pills. Aaron Rodgers wasn't the only one who got himself into trouble for failing to donate his free will to the mainstream media. Joe Rogan came down with a case of COVID. He took a course of action widely embraced in the medical community. As a result, they unleashed weeks of fury on him, attacking him with a claim they completely invented, that the drug he used to treat COVID was a horse dewormer. Do you remember that? It was not. Number five. To take out Tucker Carlson, reporters demanded restrictions on the free press. Tucker Carlson, who does the 8 o'clock Eastern Time Fox News program, has been saying a lot of things, and the media has been trying to censor him instead of allowing him to go on and continue. He's a commentator.
I think somebody on CNN actually gave it out his home address.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get through all of these. I'm just going to get the headline ones okay. on this. Okay, number four. CNN's Cuomo deceptively defends his governor's brother, all right? Number three. Press publicizes fake news about border agents whipping Haitians.
That's 30 seconds fast, by the way.
Okay. Number two. This has been a bad day for technical glitches, Ed. You know that? Oh, my goodness. Media. Virginia voters only defeated McAuliffe because they're racist. And the number one most mortifying media moment. Poor Ed, you're being distracted. Americans who dislike us are the greatest threat facing the country. All right. Those are the top 10. Thank you so very much. We will be back Wednesday. Drive safely and remember, freedom works. I'm your pussy man. That's what I am. I'm here to do whatever.